Hey, what's going on? It's Dr. Mike T. Nelson here, and this is my very first podcast that I've done solo. Obviously, I've been a guest on many of their podcasts. You can find me on most weekends on Iron Radio each week. But for this first podcast, I wanted to do a little intro. Don't usually spend a lot of time talking about myself, but I wanted to also give you some background on why I think this podcast will be a little bit different, because I know all the cool kids are doing the podcast now and it's kind of the thing to do. So I want to give you a short background on me if you hadn't heard of me before. So I've done way more college than most people probably should. And I did a Bachelor of Arts in Natural Science, St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota. Opted to go into engineering after that. Did 2 years at Michigan Technological University in the UP of Michigan area with all the Upers. And then I did 2.5 years there doing my master's in mechanical engineering. All my classwork was actually in biomechanics, but I was not able to get funding for that. So I ended up doing funding through the Center for Biomedical Engineering. And basically, I created a ray gun. Well, I didn't actually create the ray gun. I was one of the people testing the safety of it. This is back in the late 90s. That gives you an idea about how old I am. And what I did was create a computer-generated model of a monkey in front of this big-ass microwave transmitter. And then we tested all sorts of different conditions, from sweating monkey to non-sweating monkey, hairy monkey, non-hairy monkey, hairy monkey in front of a big fan, hairy monkey in front of a small fan, different size transmitters from large to small. And at the time, they told me this was for collision avoidance systems on cars, which I thought was kind of weird since my research was sponsored by Brooks Air Force Base in Texas. But I was a poor grad student and I wanted to get through graduate school, so I agreed to do it. I had to go back and teach myself heat transfer 1 and 2 over Christmas break, which was pretty miserable. But I got done, and that was published in the IEEE journal. About 5 years after that, my advisor sends me a note from the paper. It's this little clip from like page 4 that says, "Military declassifies ray gun." And he goes, "Hey, this was your research." And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know I was testing ray guns." He's like, "Yeah, it was so classified. We didn't want to tell you that it was classified at the time." So what the military wanted was, especially after 9/11, some way of doing non-lethal crowd control. So you can look this up. It's called the active denial system. It's literally a very large, a gigahertz microwave transmitter mounted on the back of a truck. And the higher you go in frequency, especially in high power, the penetration depth of the waves is very small. So with this high powered microwave transmitter in the gigahertz range, the penetration depth's only a couple millimeters, but it's enough to light up kind of all those sympathetic nerve endings on your skin, and it feels like your skin is being burnt by a light bulb. So you're going to move out of the way of the beam as fast as possible. So a buddy of mine, he actually did have it tested on him when he was in the military. And he said, if you are in that beam, he said, it hurts really, really bad. But the beam is so concentrated, you can be outside of the beam, literally within a foot if you're right on the edge of it. So the military, I think, still uses that now for certain things. So I did that for research. I finished college doing about 8 years full time. I swore I was never going to go back to school again. That lasted for about 2 years, and I started doing work in the biomedical department at the University of Minnesota. Finally got fully admitted there, and I started working for a medical device company. So I did work in the cardiology area. A company did implantable pacemakers and defibrillators. So I worked there in technical service for a while, did some work in leads design, little wires that run down into the heart. And it was pretty interesting. But even then, when I was doing the PhD work in biomedical engineering, I was spending all my free time going to conferences on exercise phys and training and basically sitting in the back, annoying the other trainers with questions about research. And at that point, I realized that most trainers, especially if you're a trainer listening to this, don't usually read research, which I thought was kind of odd. But even when I was doing my PhD, a lot of people there only read research of what they had to for their projects, where I would literally sit around and read research for fun. I remember turning in my final exams for what's called to be a PhD candidate. And I passed that. I ended up having to stay up all night to get some stuff finished. I remember going to the local Chipotle, getting a Chipotle burrito, and literally sitting down to read a study about caffeine that had just come out the day before. So that's some clue of what I literally do with my free time, because I find it absolutely fascinating. So I ended up did not finish the PhD program in biomedical engineering. I dropped out of that with, I completed almost all the classwork except for two classes. Did not do any research in that area. Most of it was a conflict of interest trying to find funding. And I went over to the exercise physiology department that fall. Because they're completely different departments, I literally had to start all over at ground zero again. And I went over there primarily because I just did not want to do math anymore. I had a minor in math and had taken math classes beyond that. And when I started, I literally did not think there was any more math after calculus four. Little do I know, I ended up taking four classes that were after calculus four, which for me was actually very hard. So I dropped that out. I go over to the exercise physiology department because I'd been taking exercise phys classes literally just for fun. I didn't need the credits. And I get there and my new advisor looks around. First meeting, he's like, hey, we got two new projects, but they both involve a lot of math. They're on heart rate variability and metabolic flexibility. And he looks around, he points at me, and he's like, hey, you, math boy, whatever your name is, these are your projects. So literally the first meeting that we had, I got assigned projects that involved math. Luckily, the math wasn't too bad compared to what I had done before. So that's how I actually started researching heart rate variability and metabolic flexibility, which you will hear those topics come up a lot on this podcast. And that was about over 12 years ago. So it took me about 7 years to finish my PhD in exercise physiology, published a bunch of studies there looking at heart rate variability, metabolic flexibility, some stuff with Monster energy drink, co-wrote a couple book chapters, one on sports supplementation with fatty acids, and then one on the protein and exercise training. And around this time, like before in 2005, before I actually started the PhD program, I did my NSCA, CSCS, started training different clients part-time, worked in a gym for a while. They filed bankruptcy, which was more than annoying. So then I said, screw this, and I just started training people out of my garage. I called up Elite FTS, ordered a rack, a bar, trap bar, and a flat bench. Shout out to Jim Wendler, who was working there at the time. And just started training clients in my garage. And I really enjoyed that. It was much better since I didn't have to deal with all the monkey motion of everything else. And when I started doing my PhD, my backup plan to it was, well, if this whole training thing doesn't work out at all, I at least have a really nice gym in my garage. So I did that for quite a while. And then about 6 years ago, I moved most of my clients to online. At the time, it was just a time thing because of the amount of time my PhD was taking. I was still working part-time for the medical device company and I was still running my own business. I got married around that time, so it was pretty crazy. I ended up kind of torching myself, and I took about, it was probably, if I'm honest, about 2 years after that to get back to a quote-unquote normal level again. And so I've been doing this full-time now on my own for about 4.5 years for fun. I like drinking lots of coffee, listening to death metal, going to concerts, doing a lot of lifting of very odd objects. My main goal is to lift the Denny Stones in Scotland by the time I'm 50. So as of this recording, I got about 5 more years to go, but getting closer on that. As I mentioned, I literally read research for fun because I find it's absolutely fascinating. And I spend as much time as I can when it's windy going to kiteboard. So I usually go down to South Padre, Texas, Hood River, lots of fun other places. So the main reason for this podcast is to give you a little collection of shorter thoughts, some different ideas. We'll also have in the future coming up some interviews at times with some people you've probably heard of and some people who you may not have heard of. So I'm trying to get some people to come out of the woodwork who don't typically do podcasts, but have really good information, looking at the topics of performance, hypertrophy, fat loss, body composition, but viewing it with the a little bit of a different twist, right? As you can imagine, a lot of the topics will be on related to things of heart rate variability, metabolic flexibility. Some of it will be a little bit more in the weeds, but my goal is to translate a lot of that so that it makes sense to you and also to make it applicable, right? There's no point to spend 30 minutes talking about a study. If you're a researcher, that's useful, but if you're a trainer, which is just mostly geared towards trainers and advanced fitness people, you want to know what do you do with that data? How do you make it practical on its own? So my goal is to discuss some of the complex physiology and then translate it into actions that are simple. So thank you very much for listening to the first episode. I greatly appreciate it. If you want more information, you can go to my main website, which is just miketnelson.com. And then I do have the main certification is the Flex Diet Certification. And that's at flexdiet.com, FLEXDIET.com. And in that, I break down 8 different interventions related to metabolic flexibility and flexible dieting. So more of the nutrition recovery side for yourself and for your clients. Do about a 1-hour lecture on each one of those on the theory. We've got a big picture one that kind of goes through the course so you understand the framework of it. And then we have 5 very specific action items for each of the 8. And we tell you how to use all of that as a system to help your clients get better body composition, add strength, and add more muscle. That's just at flexdiet.com. Thank you very much.